4ZLK.
Good evening, Shane. My, my, I've never seen so much CW in a long time. ARRL contest tonight. I don't know if they'll accept U.S. stations, or are they just looking for DX stations? I didn't look it up.
Yeah, I hadn't paid attention to what contests were coming this weekend. I would assume it would go all weekend if it's that contest.
You know what? It starts at, like, I'm listening to 7001, and you start to go up, and there's 0.8. There's 2.4. Just as fast as you go up, they're just... There's not any room between them, put it that way.
It'd be difficult to copy sometimes when they're that close.
I'm not having any trouble with that, but I'll see if he'll answer me. If I call him there, I'll kick it up to 100 watts. Then we'll know if they're looking for U.S. stations, because he's in Fort Mill, South Carolina, and I don't know. You know where that's at?
I'm wondering if that's over near Cherokee County, over near Charlotte.
Hang on a minute. I'll listen for him to call back here. It says Fort Mill Contest Club. Well, he wants a number. I'm going to wait and see what the response is. And then that way, some guy's calling him, but he's off frequency. How's your day?
Because I'm getting closer to home. What if they want a serial number, like keep, 001, 002, based on contacts?
Yep, you're probably right. And they want, because I think he gives his, this is KB4DX. He called OH. Well, he just said 599 South Carolina. Must be running about 32 or so.
Pretty fast, but for an expert like you, it's probably nothing. Right now, I can't look up the contest. I've got I keep a page open on my computer at home, a tab open to the contest page. I found one. It's a WB7 or WD7 something contest page, and he lists all the contests that are going on. It's been pretty accurate. Keeps you can go out for weeks on it, or even months, and see what contests are coming up.
Got a hard copy of the QST magazine up there, and I always dog-ear the contest corral, but I guess you could say I was too lazy to look at it tonight. I've seen that. What's coming? It's on my calendar here. I buy an ARRL calendar. Used to buy the CQ calendar. It was the best one, but they just don't make them anymore. I guess they either went out of business or something. I'm typing in CONTST and see what it says there. Curious W/VE stations to expand knowledge of DX propagation on the HF medium and medium frequency bands, improve operating skills, and improve station. We'll see what it says about rules on it here. Exchange, send a signal report in their state or province. DX stations send a signal report and power as a number or abbreviation.
Looks like somebody would probably answer you. I mean, I guess unless they're specifically looking just to make DX contacts.
I was 30 words a minute. I was slower than him. Let me turn this back down to 50. That way. If I turn the amplifier on, 100 watts would not be a good thing to drive it with. He's supposed to take it, but I don't know what it would come out as. Probably way over 1,500. And you love to blow the amp up, you know. It's only a 1,200 watt-er.
Be careful about that. When I first got this little 857, and I got a little manual tuner with it, you're not supposed to tune with more than a 10 watts, it says. Many a time when I first got it, I would forget to turn the power down and realize it right when I pushed the tune button.
I know the feeling. Let me turn this down. I got a button here and it says standby and operate. And this amplifier was not one of the newer ones. The newer ones do 6 meters through 160. And this one only does, I shouldn't say only, it does 10 to 160, which suits me fine. I don't need it for 6 meters anyways. And if 6 meters is in, most anything will work it usually. So they tell me. I think I only got one to my credit. I tune him up on that big long antenna out there. But it worked. But that's been many years ago. But if I forget to turn that back from operate, if I touch the key, this tuner will tune. And like right now, I just touched it and it went to 54 watts readout on that auto tuner, that Palstar. And it's not a cheap item. And if I forget and I leave it in the operate position, it'll kick quite a bit more than that over there. And I've done that a couple of times. But boy, I don't want to hurt that tuner, I'll tell you for sure. It's big, it's heavy. I can't lift it anymore. And it's probably 18 inches wide and 2 foot deep and about 8 inches tall. But I got a button that I can choose the amount of power when I tune, and I always keep it on 10 watts. But you got to remember to flip that switch back, and it's right above my eye level. If I set up in the chair real good here, I can see it, but you can still forget it if you're working stations very fast, which I usually don't. I just work a few of an evening and then to heck with the rest of it.
For ZLK, yeah, you definitely don't want to damage that tuner. And it's good to get a routine. I now always try to make sure I make sure if I ever change bands, I put the power back down on the radio before I do anything. Anyway, I had a good day, and got some good news on the baby. She's doing a lot better. She's completely awake now, no sedation. She's got almost all of her, I think they pulled the feeding tube out, so shouldn't have any more. They might have still left it, but she was able to nurse tonight, or this afternoon. So that's a really good sign. Nadine was really happy about that, of course, her mother.
God help them, I'll tell you. That is wonderful, Shane. Great news to hear. Boy, it just tears you up to see a baby hurt with something, you know? I know when Amy, she got operated on when she was 5, I think it was. And they had to do a ureter re-implantation into the bladder. And it was pretty exotic back then, because Amy's 50 now. And it's just pitiful to walk in there and see 7 tubes sticking out of her. Central TR.
Okay. Oh, I imagine. I mean, I can more than imagine, because little Isla had a bunch of them. I don't know how many there were, but both arms, both legs, underarm, and, you know, feeding tube in each nostril, and then the breathing tube down her throat. is crazy. And then a lot of those that were coming out of our arms and legs had multiple plumbing attachments to it, almost like, you know, little 90-degree elbows and stuff, and they had three or four or five little tubes going into, feeding into one, so they could, 'cause they had so much medicine going into her.
I never heard of so many. I've never seen more than one NG tube in the nose. And I used to have trouble with that. They'd put one in the wrong side. One side's narrow and one side's not. And you'd be half asleep when they'd be doing it or something. And I'd finally tell them, hey, use the other nostril, and it went in just fine. But, oh, that hurt when they tried to put it in that narrow one.
She was throwing up, wasn't able to hold anything down, so they put one into her stomach, and they were taking out the bile that her stomach was making, all the time, because she wasn't getting any food. So they were taking that out, and then they put a feeding tube, another one down the other nostril, and put it into her intestines after several days to slowly introduce her to breast milk. See how she tolerated that, and to give her, something other than, they were feeding her fats and lipids and salines and all that through some of the other stuff, but they introduced her to breast milk that way, see if she, make sure she didn't start throwing it up again, and it worked, and then they pulled it up into her stomach and did that for a little bit, and that's what the plan was for today, but I wasn't expecting her to be able to nurse already today, so that was really good.
That sounds wonderful. I got most of that, Gene. Maurice was talking to me. She just brought me down a piece of this. What do you call this cake? It's a pineapple cake. That's all I know. Cool Whip on top of it. But that's wonderful to hear about the baby progressing, Gene. I'll tell you for sure. Boy, it was busy out there today on the roads.
In the Walmart, or did you just do the little market?
Little market, and got everything we wanted except I wanted some those I think they call it a Quake brand. It's kind of chocolate chip ice cream. They got chocolate chip cookie dough. They got peanut butter. They got every cookies and cream, but they don't have just plain old chocolate chip. And it's like $1.49 for a pint of it. And the other stuff's like $4.48. And I ain't gonna get $4.48 for I think it's a half pint at about 6 inches tall, you know.
A fancy ice cream then for that price.
Size of it, Haagen-Dazs and all of that other stuff, I ain't doing that. I used to work on a machine called a Komori, and it made 8,000 Breyers ice cream boxes an hour.
Amazing, watching one of those things move. One of my places I deliver and then pick up later in the day, Harkness International, I think it's international, they make machines for that kind of thing, which process bottles and cans and where they're on belts, and it runs them through and puts everything together. It's some amazing equipment that they produce there.
Up in Joplin, Missouri, I had to drive 35 miles down there and 35 miles back. Joplin was only about 28, but it was on the far side. And I worked there as an electronic technician and electrician. And that Komori was 345 feet long, Shane, and it was a 7-color offset press, so you had 7 separate presses on that stupid thing. And the most intriguing thing was that dryer, and I guess there's some form of radiation there, I don't know. It had 250,000 volts going to it. And they wanted me to get with the technician that was from the factory and learn about it. He opened that one door and there was a gas. I probably told you this. There was a gas down the bottom of it. It looked like a cloud. And he said, take a deep breath and hold it. Stick your head in there and stick your hand down in it and move it side to side. And it felt like you were squishing water back and forth, Shane. But he said, if you breathe, it'll go to the bottom of your lungs and you'll die.
That's pretty scary. What kind of gas was it?
Shane, it's been too many years ago. But it just felt like you stuck your hand in a jar of water. And that was the dielectric, if you know what I mean, the dielectric strength to keep that 250,000 volts from going to ground.
Is that something that would eventually get out, or did it just stay in there, or did you have to replace it at all?
I mean, that one day, but he never replaced it, and the door was wide open, but it didn't come out. It just settled to the bottom of this great big huge cabinet, and that was the last place where those Breyers ice cream boxes went under. And there was a gold stream down there with a bunch of holes in it. I remember that. And this was a very expensive machine. But to be able to dry those seven colors as it come through there that fast was just incredible. Every once in a while, I'd be down there doing something, and I'd notice these guys scrambling, and something would go wrong down at the end of the press. Those guys, just to get those boxes out of the way, they were all folded, you know, flat. They were throwing those boxes in every direction they could just to get them out of the way of what was coming through the press until they could get it shut down.
It's a sight to see. And, you know, I was just thinking about that, gas you mentioned, and just the way through the years people have just come up with different ways of doing things, and you know, you wonder who thought of that. I guess they saw it, you know, worked one way and they realized it would work for that application. But it's pretty amazing how just the way technology evolves like that in all kinds of, you know, computers or machines or, you know, anything like that.
Maybe controls on it, and down the beginning of it, they had these rolls of board, they called it, and it's what those Breyers ice cream boxes were made out of. And Shane, they were taller than I am, and they'd put one in there and load it in while the machine was running. And when the other one would get towards the end, they had sensors on it, and this thing would start rolling, and it would splice into it would slow down, but it wouldn't ever stop. And the other rolls start rolling, and it come down in there, and somewhere or another, it spliced onto that other board that was running out and never stopped, and then it speed back up on its own.
Cool. You know, my favorite, I think one of the favorite tours I had of machining and machine shop, it was more of a museum, but it was a metalworking shop. I guess they might have done wood in there too, but it was from the 1800s, I think, up in Pennsylvania, and it was run by a water wheel down in the river. Big old long belt came from that water wheel, and they actually changed it to almost like a turbine that they had developed, you know, back in the 1800s. It sat in the water, and as the water poured into it, like a you know, like a whirlpool almost, it would spin that turbine, and then that turned a big old long rope that ran up to the side of the building from the river, and it was a good 50 feet or more, maybe longer than that. And then it turned a big wheel on the side of the building, and that turned one big leather belt inside the building, and every tool ran off of that belt. And they had these big, long, wooden posts that pulled down from, you know, up near the belt. And they could just from a gear, they could just push that wood in and engage that tool that they wanted to work on. It would slide a gear over onto that belt. And every machine in that shop ran off of that wooden belt like that.
VCR. Yeah, that's called a line shaft, Shane. And I've seen machine shops that run off of a line shaft like that. All of them run on a leather belt that went down through the shop. And extremely interesting. If you ever want to see some of the biggest machines you'll ever see in your life, go to the Ford Museum in Detroit. It's worth the trip just to go up there and see. My God, they got full generating plants inside of there. They got steam engines. They got airplanes. They got all the car that Kennedy should have been in with the bubble top. They got Reagan's car, you know, the limousine. And it's just totally incredible. But those bigger machines like that, a lot of them were synchronous motors. And we used to, when I worked at this Atkinson's Armature Works for a year, they wound those things. And they would be in flour mills and places like that. And the synchronous motor was different. It ran in sync with the line frequency. So they'd run like 3,600 RPM or something like that. And the line frequency being 60 cycles and then multiples of it, I guess. But they were gargantuan motors that ran those plants like that, that ran on a big long line. But that Ford, they got everything from Ford's first car to, you name it, concept cars, to Daytona 500 cars, and the other real slick ones they run over there in Europe, you know. It's just unimaginable what they got in that place. And they're gargantuan in size. They even got Edison's lab there, and Ford took it apart board by board and had it moved up there. What was the name of that place where it was at? Greenwich Village, wasn't it? Yeah, Greenwich Village. And it's the Ford Museum there in Detroit. And it's worth every penny of it to go through that place.
On my bucket list, that sounds really fascinating. And I realized I said wooden belt. I meant leather belt in that shop. But just the tooling, the precision work, the machines were precision built. And then the stuff they would make, all running off of a leather belt powered by water, that's pretty cool. Anyway, Tom, I'm close to home. I have a couple more turns and I'll be in the driveway. So while I have it, I will say good evening to you and Bernice, and I hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy that pineapple cake. He probably ate it all while I was talking, so enjoyed it as always. Thanks for the ride-along. N0TR, N4ZLK.
It's as good as that United States Air Force Museum is, and that's the only one I'd even compare to that other than the Smithsonian. It is just unbelievable. If you ever want to take your family up there, let me know, because my daughter usually has season tickets up there, and I'm sure she'd be glad to take you all over there. She keeps them every year just to take guests. I think a couple of years ago she took the family from over in Germany through it, and it's astounding, I'll tell you. And I can't think of, and they got everything from Gatling guns to some of the biggest steam engines I've ever seen in my life. It's really a beautiful place. And I was trying to think of some of the other things they had in there. But those power plants, my God, they're huge. A lot of things ran off of steam back then, too. Anyways, take care, Shane. Great to hear you this evening, and we'll catch you down the line. In 4ZLK, in 0TR. Go look at the CW on the QRZ.
Enjoyed it. N4ZLK.